church. Happy Easter to you. Thank you. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Yes, he is, and I'm so glad that we can all come and celebrate this momentous and joyous time in the life of the church. Thank you all for being here. I have a couple of announcements to get through real quick. And one of them, I'm actually going to go back to Good Friday. If you were here for the Good Friday service, at the very end, I took a hymnal and I slammed it down on the altar. And when I got home, Deb said, "Why'd you do that?" So I thought you might want to know too. The official fancy name for that is called strepitus. And it happens in the Good Friday tomb, and that thump is supposed to be the sound of the tomb door closing. But since the tomb is open, it doesn't matter today, but that is exactly what happened there. So any of those who are wondering why I was so angry and pumping hymnals, I wasn't. A couple other announcements. Not next Sunday, but the Sunday after, which will be the 14th, I'm going to invite you to linger after church, because we are on the second Sundays of every month going to have some kind of gathering or meal, or in this case, we're going to have tea and scones. And so we will have tea and scones together, and then during the tea time, I will be talking about the history of the Methodist Church in England. That's why we're doing tea and scones. And if you are able and willing, we are asking people to bring an open box of tea, and we're going to donate that to shut-in seniors in our community. So be an opportunity for that. And there are also other opportunities to make donations. One of the things I absolutely love about this church is how generous and continually finding ways to be in mission and outreach to our community. So just outside the main doors there is a display with some other items to donate. And then in April, we will also be collecting unscented body wash and shampoo for homebound seniors. So if you're interested in that mission, we'd appreciate it. My friends, those are the announcements I have. Today is a day of celebration. Today is a day of joy. And we are going to start together with our handbell choir, the Wesley Ringers. I'm going to invite them in. And while they're coming in, I'm going to ask you to stand, please, because we are going to sing together "Christ the Lord is Risen" today.
There's about a 12-measure intro, and then the same, I think it'll be obvious when on the downbeat. Please raise, we are singing to an audience of one, and we are playing to an audience of one. So, thank you.
Thank you. bit this morning, and it is wonderful to see our church so full and all of your smiling faces. You all know that it has been a long time since our bell choir has performed, and how wonderful to see them here today. Pardon my emotion, but this is a very, very special time to have them back and a small performance here to help them. So please congratulate all of them and say some kind words after the service. They worked very, very hard to bring you this music this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What a beautiful day and a great way to start the service. Please join with me in the call to worship found in your bulletin, or you may follow along on the screen. The tomb is dark but empty.
The one you are looking for has overcome the darkness.
The stone has been rolled away.
The one you are looking for has overcome death.
The burial cloths are put aside.
The one you are looking for is alive.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Let us worship our risen Savior.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
We repeat our Easter shouts of surprise and joy again and again for the news of your victory over powers of death and evil is news so startling, so amazing, so different from the news that bombard us day by day. Beyond our comprehension, you startle us again and again with resurrection life, bringing grace and hope and joy. You, in your risen power, are shaping all our days, and so we praise you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now is a hymn of children's message today.
Yep, have the children come forward first, please. Join me up here. Because I'm going to need somebody to help me get back up. So how are y'all this morning? Happy Easter. Doing good? Yep. One thumb up. Two thumbs up. Anybody got two thumbs up? Anybody got three thumbs up? Maybe three thumbs. One, two thumbs and a foot. Sorry. Yep. Two toes and two thumbs. That's as best as we can get. So what's special about today? What's special about today? Yeah, it's Easter, right? So what does that mean? What does Easter mean? Love it. Yes. Is today about chocolate bunnies?
No.
Queens, fun. Don't get me wrong. It's always any day that we get chocolate is a good day, right? That's all right. But that's not what it's about. And it's not about eggs, although I like coloring eggs. That's fun. And it's not about hiding eggs. Yeah, but Easter is about the day that Jesus rose from the grave. And so the tomb was empty, and everybody went and they couldn't believe it. How can somebody raise from death? Jesus did it. And that's why this whole day, this whole church day, is filled with celebration and special music, and we're celebrating that special day. And this is good too. Don't get me wrong. I like these. Do you like these? Do you like these, Nolan? Would you like one of these? You got one this morning? Nice. I gotta come to your house. You can share it. Okay, so, yeah, we should pass the chocolate around, everybody take a bite. Yeah. I'll let you guys work that out after church, if you want to do that. But let's go ahead and pray, and then I'll let you guys go back. Are there crafts in the back today for that? So, if you go back, there are extra special crafts today for Easter that you can do, okay? If you want to. So let's pray. Heavenly God, thank you for this special, special day, this holy day, this day we remember that Jesus isn't in the grave. Up from the grave he rose, and so we give our whole voices, our whole bodies, everything to celebrate and praise you for this wonderful, wonderful day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before you go, because it would be kind of teasing for me to just show you this bunny and not give you one, I do have a couple more. So, will you reach around, right around there? There's a bag. Can you grab that bag for me, please? Thank you. So, see? Should have come forward, folks. And then when you get one, you can go. Okay. Got two. Also, there are chocolates and jelly beans and other treats on the tables. You are very welcome to have those as well. Fill your pockets. You're not coming to my house afterwards. Have fun. One more.
Thank you.
Join me in Thine Be the Glory, number 308. Please stand up.
seated and follow along with me for the scripture from Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12, as seen on the screen. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly, two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee? That the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. The word of God for the people of God.
You pray with me, please. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be granted acceptable in your sight, because you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When our children were little, I would, from time to time, pass along fatherly advice and wisdom. I would tell them about how the natural world works, or great moments in history, or even stories about our family. And, with clockwork repetition, each time I would tell my children some insightful nugget for life, like that whales breathe air just like we do, or the science behind why the sky is blue, the children would turn to their mother and say, "Mom, is that true?" All of my parental years were fact-checked by three curious yet highly suspicious children. And in fairness, it wasn't a bad practice for them to ask their mom if what I was saying was true, because sometimes I would, shall we say, add less than truthful elements to my stories, just to see who was paying attention and to keep myself amused. The skeptical "wait, is that true?" attitude towards information and news is central to the phrase "idle tale." Idle tales is not a term we use much anymore, but it's a way to describe when someone tells a story that might not really be credible, might not have all the facts, might lean more into fanciful than actual. Did you catch the line "idle tale" in the Easter reading? Only the Gospel of Luke uses that phrase, "idle tale," and it's the chief piece that makes Luke's reading so different than the other three. And it's why I love the gospel so much. Each gospel writer shares that wonderful story of Jesus, but brings forward different pieces for us to learn from. Matthew, in his writing of the Easter story, really leans into the cosmic, supernatural power of God. There are earthquakes and lightning that the other writers, they don't mention. Matthew also emphasizes the relationship between Jesus' empty tomb and the power structures of Rome. John, which is typically the reading we do on Easter Sunday, John emphasizes the role of women in the Easter miracle, their feelings, their connection with Jesus, and their leadership. John really seems to want to let the readers know that if it wasn't for the women, the men would still be hiding in the upper room, and the world would have never heard the good news. Mark's gospel is the hurry-up gospel. Mark doesn't care about superfluous details. He wants to get the message out as quick as he can, and his Easter account is similar. Except, Mark, in a rare moment of beauty, beauty and poetry reminds us in his Easter story that Jesus is going ahead of us. And it's a callback to the way he started his gospel and a beautiful reminder that no matter what we face in life, Jesus is already there waiting for us in the moment. Luke, though, really wants to draw our attention to how difficult the resurrection story is. In case you weren't sure, people don't come back from the dead. The tomb never gives up its own. That's not how the natural world works. Well, until Christ, at least. It's important to note that the women had been preparing to visit Jesus' body for a couple days before our reading begins. Friday, they gathered the spices so they could anoint his body because they, the women, were there. They were present when Jesus was laid in the tomb. They saw Jesus being taken down from the cross. They saw him being laid to rest. On Saturday, they stayed home because Saturday was the Sabbath and they didn't work on the Sabbath. So Sunday morning, they gathered everything they had prepared and they headed out to see Jesus one last time. The women brought spices to honor and preserve the body of Jesus. In other words, they fully expected Jesus to be dead. How could he not? They watched him be laid to rest. Their visit on Sunday was to complete the final steps of his burial so they could grieve the loss of a friend and the loss of their hopes. Followers of Jesus really hoped, right until the very end, that he was going to usher in a new era. And we know he did. They didn't get it at that point in the story. They expected armies and power and Romans running back to Rome. They didn't expect and didn't understand that the kingdom of Jesus that he was always talking about was one of peace, love, and inclusion. The ladies arrive at the tomb and they find the stone rolled away and the tomb was empty. Luke says the ladies were confused. Perplexed is the word Luke uses. They knew that's where Jesus was spending his eternity, so where could he be? Even though Jesus had said to them how many times before that he's going to be raised after 3 days, they didn't understand. They didn't get it. It was all too much to take in. And as their head is still spinning from what they're witnessing, two men in dazzling white suddenly appear. Luke doesn't use the word angels. I think they were angels. The two angels begin to preach to the ladies. They tell the story of what happened, that Jesus is not among the dead, but among the living. And the two angels remind the women that Jesus said, he said earlier, that he would rise again. And now, they get it. The light bulb goes off. They know it's true. Their grief is filled with joy. Their hopelessness is replaced with hope and positivity and excitement. So the women rush back to tell the disciples. These are women who had been with the disciples on and off for years. These were friends of the disciples. They were trusted and partners in Jesus' ministry. When they get there and share the good news, the disciples don't believe it. They are certain the women are telling them an idle tale. Mom, is that true? Now, in fairness to the disciples, Jesus' whole life had been one amazing story after another. Unbelievable if it was anybody else. A king born in a stable, a young boy who can debate scripture better than the wisest scholars, a teacher who drew thousands to him with his understanding of God, a miracle worker who healed the blind and the lame and the leper, a man who fed over 5,000 people with a small boy's lunch, a Messiah who doesn't act like a Messiah. The empty tomb is the latest amazing chapter, and even after witnessing Jesus' miracles and teachings, it is still difficult for the followers of Jesus to get it. They don't or can't believe the women, Luke said. It's too much. Everybody knows the grave doesn't give up its own. To say otherwise is an idle tale. Peter, skeptical but pragmatic, races to the tomb because he has to see for himself. Yeah, he heard the women tell their story, but really, come on. And side note, this is a quick side note, editorial commentary. I think it's patently unfair that Thomas gets the nickname Doubting Thomas. This Peter didn't believe. He had to go see for himself, and he's not called Perplexed Peter. And that's not fair to Thomas. So he runs out, and the passage ends with Peter arriving and amazed. Doesn't say believe. Maybe Perplexed Peter never got it either. If we kept reading in Luke, the next passage is the road to Emmaus, where two men are on a journey to Emmaus, encounter Jesus, but they don't recognize him. And after Jesus spends the whole day with the two men, at the end, they get it, and they race back to tell the disciples. And Luke never says the disciples believed the two men either. It's only in the next story. So we are days after the fact, days after Jesus beat death in the grave, when Jesus appears to the disciples in person, that the Easter miracle starts to sink. Even then, seeing Jesus firsthand, the disciples thought it was a ghost. It's almost comical how many chances the disciples had and still had trouble believing. The Easter story, the Easter miracle, has all the markings of an idle tale. One that requires more information. One that requires confirmation. It would have been easier, wouldn't it, if the disciples were there on Sunday morning. If they saw firsthand, if they watched and witnessed Jesus himself roll the stone away, seeing Jesus walk out of the tomb on his own accord, because seeing is believing after all. But my friends, that's not how the story works for the disciples or for us. I absolutely love blending science and my faith, but Easter Sunday, I can't rationalize, I can't offer fatherly advice in exactly how the mechanics of resurrection works. All I can do is stand in awe and wonder and rely on my faith. I have to believe that the idle tale is a very, very true tale. And I do believe. I believe with all my heart, and I have faith in my soul that Jesus did not stay in the tomb. He burst out just like he said he would, and he gave birth to his church, and he changed the way the world understands the depth, love, compassion that God has for humanity. I get it. It's hard to believe. But God has always, from day one, story one, created and acted in ways that are bewildering and unexpected and seem impossible. But he created order out of chaos. He parted an entire sea. He fed thousands in the desert on manna. Came to the earth. The whole biblical story, if you think about it, is God doing the impossible over and over. So God, through Jesus, beat the grave. I believe it. I feel it in my bones. And I hope you do too. And as certain as I am that Jesus rose again, I also believe that God is still doing the impossible in our world today. There are too many coincidences, too many moments of beauty and healing and hope to all be chance. I 100% believe God still does the impossible in our world and is active in our lives again and again today. The hazard is we get busy, we miss it, we choose to look the other way, or cry out, Mom, is that true? The Easter miracle is that God did and does continue to do the impossible. But are we Easter people? Are we people who are living like we believe in a God who is active and who creates and recreates and heals and brings hope and love to a world that desperately needs healing? Are we believing in a God who loves to do what the world thinks is impossible? Are we willing to challenge the certainties of life with the faith of Easter? Are we living like the disciples that day? Are we skeptical, perplexed, and wondering, is it all an idle tale? Today, Easter is our call, our reminder that God changed the very fabric of reality to connect with us, be with us, and love us. Easter is our passion and our rally cry that the world is different now because of Jesus on that morning. And knowing that and believing that, are we we living like that? Are we living and looking for the places God is doing the impossible? Are we filled with a hope for something more in our lives? Are we filled with joy at the good news? And are we sharing to the world that the tomb is empty? Christ is risen. Would you leave today? Like the women at the tomb, who with their hearts filled with joy, amazement, and wonder, rushed to tell the others the good news, that Christ is alive, that Easter is not an idle tale. Because the world needs the good news now more than ever. The world needs the hope that is incarnate in Jesus. The world needs to know that God is still doing the impossible again and again. Amen.
It is now time for our joys and concerns. At the end of the request, I will say one of the two, and you will answer with the appropriate all the time or hear our prayer. I have a concern this morning for Rebecca from Dick Derby, healing from the thyroid cancer. Lord, in your mercy. I have a concern for Chris and Linda from Pam Olgren. They are both dealing with cancer. Prayer that their medical teams are making the right decisions and that they make the right decisions. Lord, in your mercy. I have a concern for Trevor for continued healing and safe travels from Tony and Kurt from Cookie. Lord, in your mercy. I have a concern for Vance, Stacy, Lindy, Bill from Barb Palamaki for continued healing for their health. Lord, in your mercy. I have a concern from Dorothy Kuhn for Anne-Marie, Shirley, Brian, Bruce, and Tracy for continued healing from ongoing health problems. Lord, in your mercy. I have another concern from Dorothy Kuhn for Chris Culleton, continued healing from brain tumor surgery. Lord, in your mercy. I have a concern for Jason Peterson from Dorothy Kuhn, healing from brain tumor surgery. Lord, in your mercy. I have a concern for Brad Still from David and Jackie Cremens, continued healing and pain relief, strength, patience, and faith that all will be well. Lord, in your mercy. Now this is a joy and a concern, and it's from Jackie and David Crimmins. For the family of Don Nirmala, and the concern is peace and comfort for Don's family as he passed away suddenly, and it was unpredicted. It was unexpected. Lord, in your mercy. But the joy from this situation of the death. He was an organ donor, and others will receive the gifts of life and sight. His family celebrates this. God is good. Amen. I have another joy from John that, I'm sorry, I can't read the first name.
Oreo.
Continues to overcome drug addiction and become a better dad. God is good.
Amen. I'm going to add one more before we pray for Shirley Reno, who's got some serious health challenges that she's dealing with. Lord, in your mercy. Let's pray together. Heavenly God, today of all days we stand in awe awe and wonder at the way that you do the impossible, the way that you make paths and part seas and overcome enemies and feed us when we're hungry, and all the ways that you just again and again surprise us and amaze us and love us. And so, Lord, it is with joyful hearts that we lift these up, not because they're going through these issues, but because you are present in these issues, and that you are the great healer, you are the great comforter, you are the great way maker, and we know in each one of these situations, whether lifted aloud or in our hearts, that you are working and active and frankly doing the impossible. Help us to look and see where you are moving in those situations. Help us to look and see and just stand in awe and amazement of the way that you continually shower your love upon us. Thank you for your Son. We thank you for the victory over the grave. We thank you for the amazing, amazing day that we celebrate today. And we thank you for the words that he taught us, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory forever. Amen."
Now this time is where we receive our tithes and offerings. If you are able, and there are plates here, there's one in the back as well, we'd be grateful for you. We are so grateful that we have an opportunity to partner with you to bring justice and healing and wholeness to our community. So we give these gifts humbly, Lord, that they might be used to bring forth your love in our community and beyond. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is "He Lives," number 310. You've got to stand for this one. my friends, receive this blessing. May the joy of Easter fill your hearts with hope and renewal as we celebrate the victory of light over darkness and life over death. May the risen Christ who conquered the grave inspire you to rise above challenges and embrace new beginnings. May your eyes be open toward God as still doing the impossible. May the Spirit of resurrection breathe new life into your soul, filling you with peace, joy, and the assurance of eternal life. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Amen.